From Italy to the Canadian Rockies and beyond, Gazette Travel makes exploring the world easy and stress-free. See our full lineup of tours at thegazette.com/travel.
Welcome to the Opinion Combination Podcast. I'm KJ Pilcher of the Gazette, alongside Hall of Famer Dick Briggs, ready to talk a little college wrestling. Postseason edition, Briggsy.
Yeah. We got the girls. The first NCAA women's is a wrap. We got D3 this weekend, and Big 10s and Big 12s and all the qualifying are done for the Division One, and they'll be in 2 weeks. We can have.
Where do you want to start? Do we want to start with the Big 10s and Big 12s and kind of get that out of the way, or do we want to talk about the first NCAA women's championship first?
Let's do Big 10s.
All right. So no surprise, Penn State dominates its way to a Big 10 title. Seven champs, eight finalists. pretty amazing there. Ohio State ends up getting second. Nebraska, convincing third place for the Huskers. Iowa comes away with fourth. We said there would be kind of a cluster of teams there behind Penn State and Ohio State. Penn State 184 points, Ohio State 148.5. You know, then Nebraska, pretty convincing number three, which not really a surprise, but we thought maybe some teams could challenge them if they slipped up. But, you know, they were 29, almost 30 points ahead of Iowa. But Iowa actually closer. This is going to sound like I'm piling on, but Iowa actually closer to eighth place than they were third place.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like we said, we knew that, though. You mentioned it, that cluster of teams that were vying for fourth place, really. I mentioned Nebraska had five runners up. They didn't have a very good championship round there, but Nebraska, like you said, pretty distant, you know, for Iowa, and Iowa was fourth by half a point over Michigan. So, you know, like we said, it's a cluster there. And honestly, I think Iowa wrestled pretty decent.
Really?
In some places. You know, there's some other times when maybe not so much, but they kind of wrestled to their seed and above their seed, particularly at heavyweight. And if Ferrari doesn't medical forfeit out, he's going to finish higher than eighth. So he would have, you know, he would have bumped up the seed. But, you know, so I think Iowa was 13 spots above their seeds. So, but, you know, like I said, a good portion of that is Keeter at heavyweight, 10th and finished fourth. So he jumped six spots there. But they got qualified, you know, and so I think they did what they're pretty much expected to do, at least in their minds, you know.
Right. You know, I know fourth place is not what the fan base wants. You know, that's something that they're going to look at constantly. The fact that they didn't have an individual champion for the third straight season, you know, that's something that stands out. Even though Mikey Caliendo got to the championships, lost to Mitchell Messenbrink. I don't think he wrestled bad against Messenbrink either, but Messenbrink is just so good. But Caliendo, you know, he didn't back down, initiated some offense. It just Messenbrink's that good. He's able to score on his own, and he's able to counter. You know, it didn't really matter what Caliendo did, but it was a heck of an effort.
Right. I mean, you consider Iowa didn't have a champ, but there's only three schools that did have champs.
That's true. That's true.
So stingy with that, you know.
Yep. No, the only other two outside of the home team that had champ, Ohio State and Michigan, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Ohio State had two, had pulled a, not an upset, but got the win at 33, and which is just a loaded weight anyway. So
yeah, Devino over Blaze, and then Jesse Mendez at 141. That's where I think one of Iowa's obviously Drake Ayala, right? Postseason, Ayala seems to wrestle his best, and you know he's coming up to the finish line, right? When it comes to his folk style career, and we thought, hey, this even with all the struggles this year, this could be where you know he kind of makes his hay, right? And he did. Ends up getting third. Battled Blaze. I think it was in sudden victory of the loss against Blaze. So I think it was a good tournament for him. But the one outside of Caliendo, outside of Ayala, you mentioned Keeter, able to put together some wins. I think he might have won three straight on the backside to get that third place match again, which is, you know, I don't think people outside of those who have been in that position know how tough that is, you know, that backside rest.
That's brutal. I mean, besides the physical part, you're coming up after, you know, hammer after hammer trying to stay alive in the tournament to get yourself qualified. Now in nationals, it's like to get yourself that All-American medal. And, yeah, it's brutal. Jeez, it's tougher on the backside than the front side. I mean, your mindset and everything is just – it's a whole different game.
Yep. For me, I think one of the standouts was Nasir Bailey. You know, his only loss came to Jesse Mendez. He ends up finishing third at 141. You know, he's had some injuries and stuff, but I think you've got to be pretty happy with his performance out there. You know, getting third place. I know the fan base is going to be like third place. You're celebrating third place, and I understand. I understand that, but I think, you know, Jesse Mendez is one of the best pound-for-pound wrestlers in college wrestling, and that was his only setback at the conference tournament. I think Bailey wrestled really well.
Right. I mean, Jesse Mendez is a candidate for the Hodge, and maybe he should win it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's two, three guys we're talking about here, and he's one of them. So, I mean, and I agree on that. I think the fan base, if they're saying that or thinking that, they need to – look at reality this season. You know, and yeah, they're not happy that we're not champions or even second in this, for that matter, but or in the hunt for the title. But I mean, that's reality this year. It's mm-hmm. been a struggle. The wrestlers have struggled. The coaches have struggled. The fan base, you struggle a lot too. So, you know, it's time to face reality. And if these guys are stepping up, you know, give them some accolades there and some kudos.
Dean Peterson, back in the lineup, you know, towards the end of the season, he ends up finishing, fifth. The ones, you know, Ryder Block didn't place, but ends up getting ninth, and secures an automatic berth. Kennedy finishing fourth, really just one bad loss in there. Shout out to Christopher Minto. Okay. The biggest thing going in that bracket and the seeding for that was something that was the biggest lightning rod, right? Or one of them. Saying, God, how did he get the number one seed? We were saying it. We were saying it. And boy, he's in the finals, beat Kennedy, avenged that loss. In the finals and wrestled Haynes competitively in the finals. So hats off to him for what he did there. Mentioned Ferrari, lost to Rocco Welch in tiebreakers and then medically forfeited, had an automatic berth in hand at that point. You know,
right.
With a eighth place finish or he wrestled a Conti match and then medically forfeited mm-hmm. to get into the top eight. And then Gabe Arnold, you know, didn't place, but then won the ninth or 11th place bracket because 97 had 10 qualifiers. You know, kind of a Swiss Army knife for Iowa, Mr. Willing to Do Everything for the Hawkeyes and, bumps up to 97 and is moving on to the national tournament for the second straight year.
Right. And just to echo, Peterson wrestled three above his seed. So, like you said, good for him. Ayala, we mentioned, was two above his seed. Same with Arnold, two above. So Arnold is just out. He's been the first one in, at least in the Big Ten here, you'd think. And then Voinovich also, he's the first one out. And he was ninth, finished ninth, and eight qualify. So I don't know. We'll see with the at-large. But, you know, there's a good chance that Iowa might add a couple there.
You know, so. I haven't looked at the entire landscape of who didn't qualify. I think the fact that Vinnie Zurbin for Iowa State, which we'll talk about here in a sec, didn't qualify and is going to eat up one of those at-large bids. I think it's going to make Voinovich's it's going to make it a little tougher on him to secure one of those. It's a possibility that they could take all 10, and I think Iowa, with all that they've gone through, probably pretty fortunate to have 9 to 10 wrestlers heading to Cleveland, to be honest.
Right. And those, I appreciate Voinovich and Arnold doing their part to put themselves in the best position to be able to be an at-large. If they don't win that little mini bracket there, then there's a pretty good chance they have no chance.
Arnold's an automatic qualifier.
Oh, did Arnold? Arnold did get it in. Okay.
Yeah, because they have 10, so he finished ninth officially.
He finished 11th, didn't he?
No, he finished ninth.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought he was.
No, that's okay. It's really weird because they call it an 11th place bracket for some stupid reason. Because they take 10, so those mini brackets are meant to figure out who the next guy out is, right? So that's why they wrestle the 9 if they take 8. So you're wrestling to find out who's 11th. So you have those two extra qualifiers. So I think it was Whistler from Michigan State and Arnold who finished 9th and 10th, just outside of the top 8. And then whoever number 11th is the next one in, like, the pecking order from the Big Ten for at-large bids. It's really convoluted and kind of silly and almost makes you want to go back to the wild card system.
That just says it right there. I mean, I'd like to think I have a little bit of information and knowledge through the years.
You do. I know. And that's what – it's confusing. Imagine what the casual fan is dealing with.
Right, exactly. Please. Craziness.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, and that was a lot on social media, too. There's a lot of confusion, even with some other reporters and stuff that were sharing that information. And, you know, I know I had two or three people responding when I was like, you know, here are the automatic qualifiers. And they're like, Arnold's in? Didn't think he was in. It's like, no, he's in. So they have 9 automatics. Voinovich is the one that is the question mark. And you know, like I said, with Zurbin medically forfeiting out at the Big 12s, you figure if he's healthy and going, he's going to get an at-large bid. So I think that's that leaves it down to only 4 sitting out there at 157 to be doled out here this week.
Well, I'll say this. I apologize to Gabe Arnold and the Gabe Arnold fans because I'm one of them. And so I'm glad to hear that he's in. So,
Any other final thoughts from the Big Ten championships?
Nope.
There are some big upsets. I'll just say that, you know, one of them being Joey Blaze losing to the kid from Rutgers. In the quarterfinals, so we didn't get that rematch between Caliendo and Blaze in the semis. I think there are a couple others. Maybe at 141 with Oliveri and Davis, but it promised to be a really exciting tournament, and and it delivered.
Yep. And it would have been, I'll just say this, maybe there's some, because this has been a lot of talk about it, but a couple of calls that were kind of shaking your head and going, what, Ferrari and Penn State kid, that goes on and wins it. Welsh. And then Welsh in the finals. And so, just scratching your head on those a little bit. But that is what it is. So,
okay. Last word on the Big Ten. Did you think Max McAnally had a takedown at the end of that 184 final? Or regulation.
I was pulling for McAnally. I think he's a good wrestler, and that's part of my. Actually, I'm going to follow it up with this. My teeing it up, I don't think it was there. I just think it was so quick in high school. Definitely not even close. I mean, you know, you're going to be waiting on that one, but in college, it's a different animal. And I just didn't think it was there as much as I really wanted it to be there.
Sure.
And so, yep. So no, I didn't think it was there.
Okay. So, go ahead.
Unless you had another comment on that, I was going to follow it up with teeing up because that really is appropriate right now, and it's very brief.
All right, swing away, Briggsy, with his teeing up.
All right. So my team ended up this week. Just imagine how exciting college wrestling would be, and international wrestling for that matter, if the wrestlers would open up their offense like McAnally did in the last minute there, kind of in the tiebreaker. Man, that guy was going after it. You saw what he had against an incredibly good wrestler, Welsh. Some do. Mesa, Brink, Mendez, Duke, Jack Flores, Montanaños, Bastida. Some of those guys do open it up. But, man, if wrestlers would just open it up like that instead of wrestling so cautious and waiting till sudden victory, and man, TV ratings would just skyrocket. Arenas would sell out. And that's it. I'm done. Open up and wrestle, huh, guys?
So I'm going to add this too, and it's interesting that you mentioned this. So I'm watching the Big Ten tournament on TV, listening to Ironside and Grace do their play-by-play. And, of course, when there's not an Iowa guy wrestling, they were talking about the championship matches going on. That was one of the exact points that Ironside made about Marcus Blaze at the 133 final. That once DeVino got an advantage in the overtimes, then all of a sudden it was like a bat out of hell to his offense. And he's like, where was that the last 9 minutes?
Right.
You know, where was that the last 8 minutes where you could have been firing off shots and having those kinds of attacks? Now, you know, it's tough to sustain, but – you know, you do that early. Speaking as a heavyweight, right? How many times have you seen heavyweights get down to 1-1, trying to get a takedown when you're both tired and trying to push big bodies around? That was one of the things coaches always said, go out and get the first one. Get it when you're fresh. And then when you're pushing each other, you already have an advantage. So do that out of the gate. Which is easier said than done, but I mean, I think it's something that goes along with what you were saying.
All right, and I did not hear Ironside. I was not listening to this, so it's interesting to hear him say that as well.
No, that's why it was a coincidence. You guys, Jayhawk mentality, right? Well, let's head down to Tulsa here, the Big 12s. Again, kind of like the Big Ten, no surprise with the team champion, Oklahoma State, with 176 points, 32 ahead of runner-up Iowa State. Iowa State, I think, has got to be pretty happy with their performance. A couple champs in Rocky Elam, Yonger Bastida. Nine automatic qualifiers going on to Cleveland, and I would say a pretty darn good chance, as long as he's healthy, because he did medically forfeit out of the tournament. before getting an automatic bid. But Vinny Zerbin, I think, would be that guy, one of those guys to get an at-large. So good showing there for Iowa State.
Right, and I'll just give you a little listeners a little information. Oklahoma State had eight finalists. They went 4-4 in the finals, and they had a third and an eighth place. So they had all 10 qualified, and 9 of the 10 were third or better. So Oklahoma State is a real trophy threat. I don't think they can threaten Penn State, but you never know, right? I think they're definitely a contender for that second place trophy for sure.
I think it'll be fun with both OSUs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, for years and years, OSU was just Oklahoma State University, and then
I know.
And now it's confusing for me. So as far as Iowa State, Elam keeps them close, and it's making me nervous come nationals. Bastida is just running it. He's doing a good job. So, he's making heavyweight look like it's not much of a, you know, he's the guy, and that's unusual. Cause heavyweight's been such a battle for the last few years. So I don't know if he's making it look easier. I don't want to snake bite him or whatever, but such a good job there. Anyway, then also Poulin at 125 and Etchemadia were finished in the runner-up spot, so they did a good job as well.
Yeah, Etchemadia with a really entertaining final with Sergio Vega, those freshmen, really wrestled well for Oklahoma State. One of the standing out for the Cyclones, got to give it to Garrett Grice.
Oh, yeah.
You know, last-minute replacement for Evan Frost, who unfortunately unable to go. I believe it was coined as a coach's decision there at 133. So Frost, the former All-American, not in the postseason this year. So Grice, the youngster, gets in, and what's he do? He finishes sixth and punches. He's moving on to the national tournament.
Right. Now, the concerning part there is that he medical forfeited, as did Isaac Dean in his last match or two. Anyway, to fall into that sixth place, yep. Both of them fall into that sixth place spot. So, again, hopefully they're not injured bad enough, and it's just to kind of give them a little bit more a time to recover and not have to go through a couple of tough matches there. So we'll see on that.
I think that's probably the case. That's where Zerbon's a little bit different, where he didn't have that automatic distinction, even though I'm sure they're probably pretty confident that he'd get an at-large. So we'll see how that goes. You know, Connor Uten at 165, MJ Gaitan, both got third place. So I think that's a positive for Iowa State. Uten was the one who had to wrestle above his seed to get an automatic berth, and he ended up getting third, a couple nice wins, including one over Downey, 13-12 in the third place match.
Right, Uten, that's the weight class that had only four automatic qualifiers. He was seeded fifth, so you're right. He had to, he jumped up to third, and so a good show there. And those, all of the kids above him were ranked wrestlers. You know, he had the fourth, fifth, 10th, and 12th ranked wrestlers, Uten being the 13th ranked. So, good showing there. He did have a good tournament.
Jacob Frost, he ends up getting fourth at 149, bounced back from a loss to Caleb Rachi of Northern Iowa in the semis to finish in the top four there and move on. Seeing what Iowa State was able to do at the Big 12s and probably moving their full lineup to Cleveland. Are the Cyclones in a position to win a trophy again?
Yeah, I think so. I think they might. I mean, we'll see, but I think they could fall in there at third or fourth, maybe. I don't know if they can battle the second. Well, you know, possibly they have a good tournament. You know, Nebraska did it last year, so had a great tournament. So we'll see if the Cyclones can step up this year. But I'm worried about the injuries. You know, they've got, you know, those three injuries that are just a little have me worried, concerned.
And we'll talk about it a little bit more next week when we kind of have our primer for the national tournament. But, you know, kind of looking, they've got three guys that could be in the finals and two possible champs, you know, with Bastida, with Elam, and then another finalist in Etchemandia possibly. You know, I don't think it's out of the question. It'll be a tough go there at 141, but we'll see.
I would agree. And then throwing a couple others that could possibly make the stand, you know, I think that would put them in trophy contention.
Sure. You and I, we mentioned Caleb Rocci. He ends up as a runner-up at 149. Good for him. He's kind of had a long journey, and now, you know, the former Hawkeye NCAA qualifier is going to the national tournament for you and I now. He made it to the finals, lost to Casey Swiderski there to finish second. It was just 5-3 in the finals. But Rocci really coming through there in his final postseason.
Yeah, he had a good run throughout the tournament. And he was, let's see, what was he? What seed was he?
Well, that's a good question.
I could miss him now. Anyway, he was the sixth seed.
Maybe the sixth seed?
But the sixth seed below, just below the cutoff line. The automatic qualifiers were five. So he had took second. And he had all of the guys above him, the five seeded guys above him, were ranked wrestlers. You got 7, 8, 15, 21, 19 that were all above him. So he had a good run. That's a tough weight class. 33 was also kind of a tough run. Farber, who finished third, was seeded sixth, and all the guys above him and two guys below him were ranked wrestlers. So another good run for those two. Though overall, I don't know that you and I is really happy. I think they you know, probably didn't wrestle like they wanted to, other than those two guys. It was also their third qualifier, and he finished fourth, but he's, you know, he was seated second, if I remember right.
Yep.
And so not a good tournament for Downey, but he's good enough, and he's shaking it off throughout the season that he'll be back. He'll have a good tournament, I think.
Yep. And it's going to be tough. You know, they've had a lot of injuries and a lot of, adversity this season. I think Sima's somebody that could get a wild card. I'm not sure about Trevor Anderson. You know, that I know somebody said that he was walking around and seemed to be doing okay, but, you know, that injury suffered against Poland in the quarterfinals. That didn't look good. And he's had kind of a tough season at 12 and 11. That's going to be tough. You know, Sima, I think, is okay. But other than that, not a lot of good prospects for at-large bids for the Panthers.
What about Fox? Is he an at-large
See, that's bid? That's another one that's on the borderline. what was he how many automatic qualifiers did they get at 84?
They got 8. He's, I think, finished 9th.
Okay. Well, he was the 5th seed.
Yeah.
And they had 8, and he finished 9th. So he obviously qualified or earned an allocation as a 5th seed, and they had 8 qualifiers. So Fox probably, again, depending on who didn't qualify at the other tournaments, I would think maybe Fox could be in line with Sima to get a berth.
Right. I mean, like we said, he wrestled that little mini tournament back and put himself in the best position to have that opportunity. Sima, who, you know, I don't think he won a match, did he, with his injuries and that sort of thing. So that's a question mark on where, you know, what his health is as well. So, I mean, it's a brutal season. It's so long. You know, we've been talking a lot about it so far today, how many injuries and medical forfeits there have been in the Big 10s and Big 12s here and the other qualifiers.
Right. Any other final thoughts from the Big 12?
Nope.
All right. There. Well, let's talk about the NCAA Women's Tournament now. The first one ever held at the inaugural NCAA Women's Championships. I was corrected. I was said it was the official name was the NCAA National Collegiate Women's Wrestling Championships because it was a multi-divisional championship. So I had to have that distinction. I don't know why. Just word salad there.
Is it
changing? Anyway, we're going to just call it the NCAA Women's Championships.
Is it changing? Is it changing next year when they go to the divisionals?
I think it's 2 years. I think it's 27-28 to where D3 will have its own championship. And I'll be really curious to see if they make any exceptions or allow teams to apply, because I have a feeling that if North Central had the opportunity to wrestle the bigger schools, they would.
I would agree at this point in time, and why not? You know.
Yeah, but we'll see how the next couple of years play out, and how some of the other, you know, Oklahoma State will probably be in the field. You know, Iowa State dropped their gymnastics program. There's a big hullabaloo with that. I'm not going to get into that, but they talked about adding another women's sport, and of course, women's wrestling is the first one that pops into your head to fill that void for the Cyclones. We'll see if that is something that comes to fruition or not. But did have a great theme race, a lot of exciting action. You know, you're right there on the floor for the tournament. What was your takeaway? What did you think about what you saw down there at Extreme Arena on Friday and Saturday?
The quality of wrestling for women's and for girls in high school has improved, and it continues to improve. What I saw was a lot of matches that didn't go. You know, in the past, we've seen someone get a takedown and then a leg lace and go bang, 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 match over. And that still happens occasionally when you get into a leg lace, but the competitiveness of it and the grittiness of it, boy, there are some girls that are just Brianna Gonzalez comes to mind with her
knee. First one I thought of.
Right. And, you know, just the toughness that they bring to the sport and to see that grittiness. And I really like that. It's fun to watch the progression of that.
Yep. And, interesting you mentioned Brie Gonzalez. Nyla Valencia was another one who 2 years in a row had injuries that kept her out of being able to compete. Ends up becoming an All-American, finishing fourth at 110. You know, that just kind of showed you a little bit. I think it was injury that ended up knocking her out after she lost in the semis to the top seed. So one thing just really quick that I got from talking to a lot of the wrestlers there, and especially beforehand, talking to Audrey Jimenez, the national champ from Lehigh, outstanding international competitor. But you know, they said, you know, what's it like? You didn't have, you know, the women wrestlers that you looked up to were Olympic wrestlers, right? You didn't have NCAA champions like your male counterparts did to look up to. What's it like to kind of now wrestling for an NCAA title and knowing that there are little girls that are in the stands looking up at you saying, hey, I want to be like the NCAA champ Audrey Jimenez. And it really hit home to her. And she talked about how she never really thought about that, but you know, how much it meant to her to be able to do that. You know, Katie Lang, she won her third national title, two of them with the NCWWC, one at Augsburg, and then last year for Grand Valley State, one for the Lakers this year at 138 to kick off. Actually, the first ever NCAA champ because he started at 138. She said it didn't hit home until she saw them roll out the mats in a video online and it said NCAA across it. And it meant something, you know, not that the other ones didn't, but this was just different. Right. You got that feel from a lot of them.
Right. I think that listening to some of the comments that you're sharing with me from the gals, that they're so appreciative that of the opportunity and they're, you know, there's, you know, they're throwing back the kudos to the NCAA, I think, and you know, it may be indirectly, but you're right. Those tournaments that led up to this, there's nothing less than those. It's probably the same schools, maybe even some more since they split off. But here it is. It's the inaugural, and so you want that. I kind of like the. I'm not sure the belt's pretty cool, I think. But what do you think about that? Do you like the belt? It's new, so you know.
I liked it because it was in addition to, like the plaques and stuff. So they still got their NCAA plaques like they normally award. I think the belts were just kind of an extra from the local tournament organizers.
Right. Oh, so, is that right? Okay.
Yeah. So it was the belts didn't replace the NCAA trophy stuff. So they still got those, but the belts were in addition to that. So I liked it. And you saw that at the Big Ten men's tournament too. They had the little belts.
Yeah.
And I thought it was cool. I thought it was neat.
Right. I think, you know, you obviously get that with the, I don't watch it, but those are the WW, whatever it's called. But you get those belts they've had for years. But
and then, the UFC.
The UFC now. And then also the real freestyle, whatever it's called.
Oh, yeah. Real American Freestyle.
Real American Freestyle, right, with the belts there. And so I think it's a trend. I like it. That's neat.
And what a team race. What a team race down there. McKendree ends up winning their last three finals to beat Iowa by 5 points. Iowa with three champs, Kennedy Blades, Kylie Welker, Valerie Solorio, 160, 180, and then 103. Iowa did just about everything it could there. The one finalist that didn't win, Reese Lurimendi, lost to Bellamere, former Hawkeye, now at North Central, of course, daughter of MMA fighter Frank Mir. She got a pin over Lurimendi, former teammates, in the final there at 145. But, you know, I think Iowa left it all out there, just McKendree, very stacked. Team.
Right, and it was funny, you know, throughout the tournament, McKendree would make a big run in the early part of each round, you know, because of the strength down there at the lower weights, and then Iowa would come back and you know kind of gather in McKendree and with the strength of their upper weights. And so it's kind of fun to watch that. You know, I'm going, oh, McKendree's starting to run away with it. Oh, nope, Iowa's coming in with Kennedy Blaze and so forth and that group there at the upper weight. So anyway, it was fun to watch that. It made it exciting.
Yep. You know, just kind of looking. Kennedy Blades, Welker, so good. You know, they're world-class athletes, right?
Yeah.
And you just, you have to appreciate how good they are. That's an Olympic silver medalist and a world medalist between those two. Roommates, workout partners, warm-up partners. You can see the two of them kind of pushing each other to new heights. And they were already really good coming in, right? So that's awesome. Valerie Solorio, I don't believe she was part of the team last year. You know, last year they were able to qualify 15 under the non-sanctioned tournament. She wasn't even part of that 15 that wrestled for Iowa and their national championship team last year. Now she's in the lineup and she wins the national title there. What a great performance from her there in the lightest weight class.
Right, and she's given up some hype too. She's a gal, so, but she brings it. I like it. She just, it's fun.
Kind of interesting. In the semi, she got a pin to be Iowa's first finalist. And as she's working the bar arms, somebody yelled at her, "Heads up." She looked up to arch back, sees her dad in the crowd while she's finishing off the pin, kind of gives him a little peace sign.
I see that.
And one of the reasons why it was so interesting or notable, she said her dad hadn't watched her live for 11 years, or since she was 11.
Wow.
And the reason why is because he gets anxious and he gets really nervous, which then makes her nervous and really anxious.
Oh,
yeah. And she said by the end of the weekend, we just don't like each other. So it was kind of an unwritten, he stays home and watches live streams and doesn't, you know, get there so she can relax and do her thing. He was there and she still excelled and won a title. So that was really cool. And she's like, he's my best friend. So that's one of the reasons why it was great to finally have him there. So that was a neat side note for Iowa and Solorio.
You know, it's neat, but not.
Well, kind of. I get what you're saying, but the fact that he was there and she still did well and they were able to over, you know, kind of get over that stuff.
That's the neat part. That's,
yeah.
The not so neat part is missing all those years of watching her wrestle live. So,
yeah.
Yep.
And then last thing to kind of mention, McKendree's Cam Guerin. She finished off her career with a fifth title. You know, obviously four of them were before the NCAA event, but she ends up being a five-time national champ, beat Alexis Janiak of Aurora in a battle of national champs there to close out the night and cap McKendree's championship. So overall, it was an awesome event. I can't wait to see it continue to grow. The only thing I found upsetting, not upsetting, but disappointing, is that the lack of foresight on other tournaments.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean youth tournaments of being scheduled. And I don't know what the schedule limitations are or whatever, but you've got to find a way to make sure the wrestlers are not, you know, that was a huge deal. And that place, it should have been filled with those younger wrestlers, but there are some that were competing elsewhere. It should have been open and easier for those younger wrestlers to go down there and watch that national tournament.
Right. I mean, and to follow up, it was the AAU state tournament in Cedar Rapids here at the arena that was just loaded with for the girls. And it was the state, and it was at North Liberty. I'm not even sure with this facility, but in North Liberty, it was the U-17 Pan American team trials for the women. Okay. And then the Pee Wee girls tournament up in Waterloo. So, I mean, it just wiped out the entire fan base for those young little girls to watch the tournament. So I agree with you on that, 100%.
Yep. One other thing before we get into the D3 preview, just want to mention Grandview won the NAIA championship. They scored 192.5 points over Life, who had 166. Grandview got championships from Gabe Gonzalez at 133, Chris Ketchum at 174, and then Garavis Kua Hakabili Aho. I just butchered his name, but he won at 197. Eli Larson and Cam Robinson runners up at 149 and 165. The NAIA women will have their NCAA championships this coming up weekend on Friday, Saturday. Actually, that's in Wichita, Kansas. One to watch out there. Obviously, Life is one of the top teams. Grandview and William Penn right there. William Penn beat Grandview by 1 point in the Heart of America Athletic Conference tournament. Of course, former Hawkeyes Jake Cadel and Cash Wilkie leading the William Penn women's program down there. They're led by Mia Palumbo at 110, Christiana Agansana 117, and Esther Kalawoli at 138. So that's this weekend. Let's move on to the D3s. That's at Cedar Rapids, Iowa, this Friday and Saturday. Action begins at 10 a.m. with preliminary matches, then first round bouts, followed by first round consolation on Friday. Second session with the quarterfinals and second and third round consolations are at 5 o'clock, begin at 5 o'clock on Friday, then Saturday. Session 3 is at 10 a.m. semifinals, and then all the way through the placing matches. And then championship matches, 7 o'clock p.m., all at Lion Energy Powerhouse in downtown Cedar Rapids. Briggsy, what's your take on the D3s this weekend?
If Wartburg doesn't win it, then I don't know. They stubbed their toe pretty good. They have two number one ranked kids, a number two ranked, a number three ranked, a five and an eighth ranked. So I mean they're pretty solid. The other teams that can maybe give them a run would be Roanoke, who has a number one, number two, a four, and then three, four sixes. Oh no, not sixes, contenders, I guess. And anyway, and then Augsburg, who has 10, but I don't know if they have enough firepower. They've got six ranked wrestlers, whereas so that's the same as Wartburg and one less than, or one more than Roanoke. But I just think it's Wartburg's. If they don't win it, shame on them, I guess.
Yeah. I think Wartburg has both the balance and the high seeds, right. You know, you've kind of got to have a little bit of both. You got to have those individuals that can rack up a lot of points. You know, those guys that can get into the 20-point range, right, for your team. And I think we're in agreement. Augsburg doesn't – you know, I know they've got Matt Randolph and Cooper Willis who are number two seeds at 49 and 65, but just not sure they're going to be able to get enough points there. On the other side of that, the team – and I can't remember if you mentioned them – I think a team that's kind of on the opposite end of the spectrum, College of New Jersey, you know, they have the potential for three or four champs, but they've only got six guys in the field. So they've got guys that can put up a lot of points, even though they don't have the quantity. But I think they're a team that can contend for one of those trophies. With Wartburg and Roanoke, who I think are kind of the closer to those two. And it's, you know, Wisconsin Lacrosse is another team. You know, they might have the bodies like Augsburg, but, you know, there's a huge difference between first, second, third place points and sixth, seventh, eighth place points, if that makes sense.
Right.
And you know, that really weighs heavy when it comes to the team race. Like you, I think Warburg's got to be the heavy favorite. I like Roanoke, which I think is just a little bit better of a dual team than maybe a tournament team. But they'll still be right up there. My top three predictions are Warburg, Roanoke, and College of New Jersey.
Oh, okay. I'm going to go just off the top of my head. I'm going to go Warburg, Roanoke, and Augsburg.
Okay. The three teams that I kind of wavered on, it was College of New Jersey, Augsburg, and Wisconsin Lacrosse. I kind of deleted and replaced like two or three times there. So,
right. With Lacrosse, they lost one of their the number one seed, if I remember right. Maybe it was three or whatever, that did not qualify. He got beat and then got upset at the regionals. So that's my reason for not rolling with Coach Malachek and the lacrosse team.
And the Eagles. Okay. As far as, the American River Conference teams, co-qualified five, Braden Park at 125, Dresden Grimm at 141, Bo Kudum at 165, Jean Ngoma at 197, and Wyatt Smith at 285. Just want to highlight, Park last year was unranked, ended up being an All-American. He's the number 11 seed at 125, so keep an eye on him. He was a regional runner-up, but seems to really put it together here in the postseason. Bo Kudum, a freshman, got a big win over Luther's Clayton McDonough in the regional final. Was leading 6-0 when it was an injury default, but still was ahead there. And then Jean Ngoma, he was a state finalist for Xavier last year, lost to Drashawn Ross, who a lot of people have. but the reason he came in at semester, so he's had only a semester with the team and the program, and he's in the field. He's somebody that probably might be flying under the radar a little bit. You know, he was a regional runner-up, the fourth seed, DeRota from Wartburg. So he's somebody that – and really, I think all five have a legit shot of being on the podium somewhere, whether that, you know, that comes to fruition, you don't know. But I think they I think if they wrestle their best, they could end up going 5-for-5 with All-Americans, which is – pretty lofty, but possible. Cornell, they have one qualifier, Brian Petrie at 165. Luther qualified three with Connor Kidd at 133. Clayton McDonough and Bryce McDonough at 65 and 74. That's another situation where they've got three guys and they could walk away with three All-American honors as well. Central qualified. Pierre Baldwin, Cade Siebrecht at 149, Baldwin at 41, and Samuel West at 197. Cade Siebrecht, former Lisbon and University of Iowa wrestler, and was a regional champ in Dubuque in the qualifier. So keep an eye out for Siebrecht there. Dubuque, two qualifiers, Colton Weiler, Zane Pinnell, and then Loris had seven overall. Can Loris make a run? You know, they've got seven bodies in the tournament. Are they somebody that could get anywhere in that third, fourth, fifth range?
Yes, I think they're a bit of a dark horse. Had seven qualifiers, and so, but they've been coming on towards the end here, doing a nice job. Yes, I think they could make a run. I don't know that they will when you've got, Augsburg, Warburg, Roanoke, Lacrosse, and then also Baldwin Wallace has seven qualifiers as well, which is the same as Loris. So a couple of teams there that could battle it. So we'll see.
And I believe Baldwin Wallace is coached by former Western Dubuque prep Jamie Gibbs as well. So a little area Eastern Iowa connection with that. You know, yeah, Loris probably have to wrestle their best tournament and kind of get some help along the way. I'm just going to share my predictions. I've got here are my individual predictions. 125, Guzman from North Central. 133, going with Wabash's James Day. And then 141, I believe it's Mark Samuel of Roanoke. As a champ there. Angelo Centrone from SUNY Cortland, the national runner-up last year. Kind of going with some Iowa picks, Wartburg's Charlie Dojan at 157, and then Clayton McDonough from Luther at 65, assuming he's healthy. Mays from College of New Jersey at 74, Smith of Elizabethtown at 84, DJ Henry of College of New Jersey at 97, and then Williamson finishing it off for Wartburg at heavyweight.
I can never count on heavyweight.
Yeah.
It seems like
this tournament, you're going to get somebody that's going to blow up a bracket where you have a 6, 7, or 8 seed in the finals. It's just, it's something that you could almost bet on.
Right. And that's that first round. You typically see a 1 or 2 go down. I think we saw that with Ko at heavyweight. Was that 3 years ago in Cedar Rapids or whatever it was?
Mm-hmm.
So you just never know. Remember, there's only 21 wrestlers in each bracket. So it's not like you get necessarily an easy first round. You can see some good matchups there going. But that's when only 21 wrestlers per weight, you don't see a whole lot of shifting with teams. If you get a win or two right off the bat, you've got points on the board, and that's why you don't see the team shift too much, I don't think, anyway. But if you had a full bracket of 32, then it'd be a different story. You got backside things that can happen and front side as well.
Any final thoughts about the upcoming competition here this weekend?
Oh, no, it's going to be fun.
Make sure to check that out at the Lion Energy Powerhouse, Upper Iowa. They head to Sioux Falls. Ethan Doty, the only qualifier for the Peacocks there this weekend, also Friday and Saturday. That'll do it this week. Any final thoughts, Briggsy?
Nope. Have fun.
D3 Championships Friday, Saturday at the Lion Energy Powerhouse. Make sure to come down and support those Iowa teams that are there. Watch some great wrestling. D3, very underrated when it comes to action as well. Probably the sport in one of its purest forms. So come out and support and be entertained there. That's all I got for you. Thanks for watching this week. And Briggsy, why don't you take us out with our great line, our late friend Wyatt Schultz always used to share.
Let's keep wrestling on the move.
Travel should be simple. With Gazette Travel, every detail is handled. You just show up and enjoy with fellow Iowans. View available trips at thegazette.com/travel.